Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord that we're able to be together and share the good things of the Lord. The last several days, I've been ministering on the heart of a worshiper, on the subject of worship. And worship, sometimes we tend to complicate it, but it's simply a matter of bowing one's heart and life before God, acknowledging Him as God, that He is Lord of the universe. And that's true regardless of what goes on in our lives. And as an example of a true worshiper, we're looking at the story of Mary as she is ministering to the Lord in Luke, the 7th chapter, where she stood at His feet and wept and washed His feet with tears and wiped His feet with the hairs of her head and anointed His feet with oil. And it's very beautiful to see her unrestrained abandon in just desiring to minister to Jesus. And in fact, Jesus' response, instead of disapproval, He was basically saying, well done. He told her that her sins are forgiven. Verse 50, He said, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. And one of the things we must be aware of, and I just want to emphasize, we touched on it yesterday, is that when we worship, there's a presence of God. He inhabits the praises of His people. So as we personally minister to the Lord, there is a cleansing power of the Holy Spirit that can wash over and through our lives, our spirits. So often, we allow guilt or condemnation to prevent us to draw close to the Lord. The Word says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. God convicts us, but He never condemns us. Conviction will bring victory over sin because we're responding to the Holy Spirit's wooing. But if we are just allowing the devil to condemn us, we just end up defeated and sorrowful, and actually we want to pull away from God. But the conviction will motivate us toward the Lord. People will condemn, but God will convict and draw us to Him. Guilt and condemnation are one of the great hindrances in our worship. You know, some might say, modern day Pharisee, well, you need to repent before the Lord, receive His cleansing, and then come into worship. Don't come to God unless you've first been cleansed and purified. But that's not at all what happened in this case. Note that it wasn't until Mary worshiped the Lord in such a extravagant and beautiful manner that Jesus declared that her sins were forgiven. Jesus will never tell you, beloved, wait a minute, there's sin in your life. Don't try to get close to me and love me in that condition. Don't worship in that state. But on the contrary, He says, come close to me. Lean upon my breast. Let us commune together, and you will be purified. Allow me to cleanse you. The stains and the filth of the world that tends to cling to us, Jesus will cleanse us as we draw nigh to Him. God does hate sin, and no sin can survive in God's presence. There's none in heaven. And so when we acknowledge our sins and desire to receive God's strength to gain victory over it, well, beloved, that's the first step toward the solution. But far too often, condemnation drives many of God's people away from the very source of healing and forgiveness. So that's a very important point. No matter if you've fallen and you've promised, Lord, you were never going to do that again, and lo and behold, the next thing you know is you barely get the words out of your mouth, and there you go again, falling and stumbling in the same sin or habit pattern or thing that is grievous to you. And so sometimes you just feel so condemned and guilty, you feel that, you know, you're just never going to have victory. Well, that's just a lie of the devil. In the presence of the Lord, in worshiping God, there's a wonderful release. in worship, we actually partake of the very river that flows from the throne of God. You know, there earlier this week I shared from Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams thereof make glad the city of God. That's Psalm 46 and 4. God is in the midst of her. God will help her, and that right early. Hallelujah. And this is an allusion to the water of Siloam, whose several different courses ran underneath and through the city of Jerusalem and supplied the city with water. And beloved, just as that was true in a natural way, the Holy Spirit provides us with renewing waters as we worship the Lord from our innermost being. Through our worship, the river of God washes over our souls. And as that river washes over our souls, there's cleansing and there's refreshment. Let's take a moment and look at a final passage of scripture I'd like to share in regard to the subject of worship. And to do this, we'll go to Ezekiel, the 47th chapter. And in verse 1, it says, "Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the household, under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." And going down to verse 3, "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen." Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. "And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. And then he said unto me," this is verse 8, "these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh." Praise God. And so this cleansing river, the flow of the Spirit of God from the very throne of God, is a place where we can receive healing. When Ezekiel was caught up in this divine river, he found, ultimately, waters to swim in. Is that exciting? Do you want to just launch out into the deep, into the depths of the Spirit of the Lord? During this experience, what was he told? "It shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." So beloved, as the river of God, as that river of from the very throne of God, the Spirit of the Lord, as he begins to flow, as you worship, there will be an abundance. There'll be healing. There'll be forgiveness. There'll be cleansing. There'll be restoration. Not only the divine benefits, but the very attributes of God will become the very fiber and being of the heart of a true worshiper. That's what we want. Amen. As we're in his presence, we're changed. You know, the word of God is, as we look into the mirror of God's word, we're changed even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, that's exactly what God wants to do. Let's just take a moment as we close this broadcast, as our time together comes to an end, and let's just take an opportunity to worship God, to thank him for his goodness, and to allow the very presence of the Holy Spirit to minister to you right now, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself in life, the things that are confronting you, the things that you're facing. Beloved, how we look at the Word of God, we see it repeatedly in the Old Testament. As they sent the praisers forward, the enemy was routed, the enemy was defeated, and it's just as true in our day. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you in behalf of my brothers and sisters. Lord, as we join our hearts in faith right now, we thank you, Lord, that there's victory in praise. We thank you, Lord, that praise is one of the most powerful weapons of our spiritual battlement, of our weaponry, of the things that we have to do warfare. Lord, we know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Father, I thank you right now for stirring the hearts of your people, stirring up, Lord, a spirit of worship. You've given to them garments of praise, Lord, that we can stand in your presence. Even so, Lord, I pray that you will minister life to them. Minister cleansing, that one that's feeling condemned, guilt over sin. Father, thank you for the precious cleansing blood of Jesus, washing them free, cleansing them from all sin and unrighteousness, that we can stand before you as a holy priesthood. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, lo, I speak to you in this hour, that you are to assume and to put on the mantle that I have given you, even those garments of praise, the robe of righteousness, that you might come before me, yea, as a priest, and minister to me for the things that you desire to see accomplished in your life and in the lives of your loved ones, that you would come as a minister before the very altar of God in the Spirit, and that you would boldly enter and offer the sacrifice of praise, that you would pour out your heart before me, as you would trust me, as you would commit to me your cares and your burdens and the trials and the troubles and the things that have confronted you, and those things that are going on in the lives of your loved ones. Know that as you worship me, yea, a mighty force, a mighty power of the Holy Spirit is being released in your life to destroy every yoke, to quicken you, that you shall not turn back, but you will press your way in to receive those things that you have laid upon my altar. By faith you shall claim them. By faith you shall walk in them, and you shall know that I am a God who gives liberally, not just in small portions, a bit here and a bit there, but I desire to extravagantly and abundantly pour into your life and into your hands those things that will bless you and those things that will pertain to your life and your walk in me. Rejoice, for I minister to you at this moment. Receive from the very hand of your God, says the Lord. Praise God. Lord, thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, that we receive even now that an impartation that you've given to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for it. Well, my time is gone, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. God bless you. I love you. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. Thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.